Our next guest is a journalist, an editor, and author of such books as Above the Law, The Last Guardians, and more recently, Dispersing the Fog, the unprecedented look into politics of the Canada's National Police Force. Joining us today to talk about the current state of security in Canada, I'd like to welcome to the show Mr. Paul Palango. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, yeah. Thanks for joining us today on the show. It is an interesting day to be talking with you because of the headlines that I'm seeing today about the current RCMP commissioner, William Elliott.
I did about 15 interviews yesterday, and I was on Canada AM the first thing this morning. So,
oh, okay.
You're next.
Right. And what do you think is next with the RCMP? I know that William Elliott, this guy that's the commissioner right now, is talking about tremendous changes going on. What are your thoughts on this situation?
Well, I think that Mr. Elliott, in the 3 years he's been there, hasn't done very much change. And I think that one of the reasons for that is the more one gets involved in trying to run the RCMP, the more one realizes the RCMP cannot be run properly. Or even are managed in the current structure that it is.
Okay, I see. So, with the comments on about William Elliott, the people there, I guess the comments in the media we're seeing is about him being abusive. And then there's even the theory that it's Harper's fault for appointing a civilian. I guess are you thinking that part of the reason why William Elliott is being people are complaining about him is because he doesn't have the experience in the RCMP?
Well, I think there's a bit of media spinning by the government, and I think much of Canadian society bought into it about William Elliott being a civilian. Calling William Elliott a civilian is like calling Wayne Gretzky an ordinary hockey player,
Right.
He's no more a civilian than most of the Mounties, because in the last 10 years prior to him taking over the Mounties, he was involved in counterintelligence and security. He was the national security advisor to the prime minister. He, in various capacities in the Department of Defense and Department of Public Works and Transport, he was involved in security and counterintelligence. That's what he did. And when he was appointed as a civilian, even in my book, which came out in 2008. My last book, I pointed out that his background is national security, and the problem with the RCMP at the time was a number of national security issues, and the force was becoming very leaky. It has always been my impression that Mr. Elliott was brought in there to sort of do crowd control on the RCMP and keep them in order and keep them in line. And he wasn't so much an agent of change as a crowd controller.
Okay, so you're talking about the book that you wrote recently, Dispersing the Fog, where you get into inside the secret world of Ottawa and the RCMP. And, I actually read the book. It was a really interesting book. And I know you take it back to, when you get to the highest levels, you're talking about the former prime ministers of Canada. And you get into four in a row, Trudeau, Mulroney, Chrétien, and Martin. And the one thing that they had in common, the Power Corporation, I guess, what was the Power Corporation something that you found in the research that tied everything together?
Well, yeah. I didn't set out to tell the story that I told. I mean, quite honestly, if you look at my book proposal to my publisher in Toronto, it was not the book that turned out, because as I started doing further research on the book, I sort of began connecting some dots, and the Power Corp is one of the big dots, because Power Corporation is a very, it is sort of the kingmaker of Canadian politics for the last 30 years, picking, the successive prime ministers worked for them and went to work for them after leaving office. And Power Corporation got a number of deals, especially in its relationships with China, because it's probably one of the biggest players in China, working right on the Three Gorges Dam and all kinds of other projects in China over the last 20 years. And much of its success and its wealth comes from its dealings with China.
Right. And this is actually what I wanted to get into when I started off talking about CSIS, and then we got into the RCMP. And then what you mentioned here with bringing China into this, and I was going to ask you about something that, you also write about in your book that involves both the RCMP and CSIS. And that was Project Sidewinder. Could you talk about what that was?
Well, Project Sidewinder began in the early 90s when personnel in the Hong Kong office of the Canadian Embassy in Hong Kong began to notice some anomalies in the issuing of passports and other documents, and an investigation was begun to find out what was going on. And that investigation was shut down, and then another investigation was shut down. And subsequently, seven investigations were begun and shut down. And but during around the fifth investigation, a guy named one of the Canadian counselors, or one of the investigators in the Canadian Council, came up with he and a Mountie, Gary Clement, worked on an investigation where they were able to link infiltration of the Canadian Council to organized crime in Hong Kong and China and back to elements of the Chinese Secret Service. So they wrote a report, a draft report, and they were asked to write a draft report called, you know, it was called Project Sidewinder. And when they wrote it, it was suddenly ridiculed and hidden from public view. And this is a very credible report because the two people involved were expert investigators, and they were able to show that the infiltration into Canada of people from China who shouldn't be here, who are either criminals or espionage agents, and that was blocked. And they showed the ties, and furthermore, they showed the ties, the close ties between the people coming in and ruling member or members of the Canadian government, and that was the key thing.
Right, and that's why, you know, your book is really interesting because you have so many of these historical facts, you know, and this was even just within the decade. And, you know, I know your experience goes back too, because your other books, the Above the Law and The Last Guardian, were written in the 90s. So what I was wondering about, you know, and because I like the book, I thought it was interesting to read some of the reviews, some of the critical reviews of your book, and then I noticed that there was the one in the Vancouver Sun that, you know, it says, Palango says that in Canada's, it's Paul Desmarais of the Power Corp who is the wizard behind the curtain. This is RCMP meets the Da Vinci Code, talking about your book, Dispersing the Fog. You know, so they're trying to paint you as a conspiracy theorist. But then with all the stuff that we're seeing with the RCMP and even with the CSIS, the stuff that happened for the past month that they've been talking about, it seems almost like your book is becoming true. You know, everything that you wrote about is, you know, they seem like they're admitting to it. I mean, does what these controversies that we're seeing right now with CSIS and the RCMP, is this fulfilling to you, I guess?
Well, it's, you know, every day they essentially prove everything I've said in the book. I mean, excuse me, if you look at the latest controversy with the commissioner of the RCMP dressing down his his subordinates. I reported that in Dispersing the Fog. It was one of the last things I found out before I wrote the book, and I talked about the behavior of Elliot, et cetera. And what happened was, as soon as the book came out, the RCMP put out a press release denouncing the book, saying all kinds of bad things about it. And the mainstream media really got upset with it, too, because they didn't want to cover it, because there were a number of issues covered in the book that they felt uncomfortable with, you know, including the way I treated the reporters themselves and the editors, some of the editors, in the coverage of the stories like Project Sidewinder, the Airbus affair, showing how they virtually were co-opted or allowed themselves to be co-opted and not telling the real story about what was going on.
Right.
And so, you know, this kind of vilification I found kind of odd, because I thought the book was very thoughtful and well documented. I mean, the main story that people got upset about was about Meher Arar, you know, the story I told about him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the short story is I went to tell one chapter I was going to devote to Arar, about a poor Syrian man, as you recall, who was a victim of U.S. rendition and sent to Syria, tortured. He came back. There was the O'Connor Commission, and he got $10.5 million and an apology from Canada. And I went to do a biography of him, you know, biographical sketch, and I realized after reading the O'Connor Commission and all the media reports about him that there was no real detail about Arar. And so I became curious about that, and so I thought I'd go to the companies that he worked for and talk to the people who worked with him. Well, the first company listed in the O'Connor Commission report, CIM 21,000 Inc., I found didn't exist anywhere in the world. So now I was really curious, like, what's going on here? And eventually it took me a year, and I found out the name of the real company, And that led me back to an arms dealer and a previous investigation in Montreal in 1999. And Arar certainly would have been caught up in that investigation and would have been known to the police. And so I had to wonder, what is really going on here? And not one reporter has ever gone to Montreal to check the court records of Montreal that I checked to either refute the story or to say I was right. And because I think for them to refute the story means that it would show that virtually everyone in Canada, the Globe and Mail, National Post, CBC, were taken in by this story, as were many Canadians.
Right, right. And that is quite telling. I know there is a lot of mystery still, with whatever happened in that situation, extraordinary rendition.
You look at an extraordinary rendition. When I started out this story, I'd been on radio and TV denouncing the RCMP for its treatment of Mr. Arar and describing it as a dysfunctional police force. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is a dysfunctional police force, and I show that in three quarters of the book, Dispersing the Fog.
Right.
But when I looked at the Arar case, I couldn't see anything wrong that the RCMP had done, and this had led me into these other areas. And when I got into these other areas, I find that Arar is not what he says he is, or what the government says he is. And that's what the story is. I said, there's something else going on here. And the whole rendition story, I started to look at rendition, and I began to posit the idea that if Arar was what he appears to be, to me, a covert agent of some sort, then what happened to the other rendition people who were in rendition? And I found similarities between him and 10 others around the world who got involved in left-wing politics after they came out of prison. Arar didn't specifically, but his wife did. And all these ties that they began to develop. So I'm very suspicious of who this guy really is and what his purpose really is.
Mm-hmm. And I know that there is a suspicion growing within Canada because of the controversy that the CSIS director is involved with, Richard Fadden, when he made some comments about a month ago about Canadian officials being influenced or secretly working for foreign governments. I guess, does this seem like a logical situation to you? Were you surprised when you heard these comments?
No, because it really goes back to Project Sidewinder. What Brian McAdam and Gary Clement and the people who wrote Project Sidewinder were saying, that this was going on. And in my book, I show how in other countries what has gone on in England, other Western countries, England, France, Italy, Australia,
right.
United States,
right.
How this kind of infiltration works. But in Canada, there's a complete blind eye to it. There is no instinct whatsoever to deal with this issue, which is considered by other countries to be a very serious issue.
It is highly possible then that the CSIS director is speaking the truth, and that there are there could be high-ranking officials in Canada that are.
Absolutely. In my experience, he comes across to me as a man who is in much distress,
mm-hmm.
and because he's trying to do the right thing, and he's come up against forces inside government that will not allow him to do the right thing or his agency to do the right thing. That happened to Brian McAdam in Project Sidewinder, and I can show you at least a dozen other cases where over the years where police and intelligence officers have come into situations where suddenly the whole world is turned upside down on them and they're made to look like fools, and they're not fools at all. They're telling the story, and that is the problem. I mean, it really is a problem, and I don't say that as a conspiracy theorist, because I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a reporter. I basically deal with the facts, and I looked at the facts.
Definitely, and that's why people can check out Dispersing the Fog to get a lot of the facts, and more info is coming out on all these situations. But if what we're hearing is true, and that there is big problems with the leadership in the CSIS and the RCMP, do you think is there a way, how can this be resolved? Is it all through the Prime Minister's office, or?
Well, the problem is that the CSIS director reports to the Prime Minister. The commissioner of the RCMP is probably the most powerful single individual in Canada other than the Prime Minister because of the powers that imbued in him under the RCMP Act. Mm-hmm. The RCMP commissioner is appointed by and serves at the pleasure of the Prime Minister. This is bizarre in a democratic world. Like, you do not have the chief of the federal police force reporting directly to the prime minister. I mean, this is a politicization that goes beyond the pale. So, I mean, Canadians have to wake up and realize that there is a serious encroachment going on into virtually everyone's rights in this country because of politicization of the police. The RCMP, I mean, the solution to this is basically slimming down the size of the RCMP, disconnecting it from the political process, and maybe setting up a rival agency or two to deal with some of the matters so that there is some sort of competition and some sort of oversight, that they're looking over each other's shoulder then, and you know, that there's some sort of sense of balance, because there's none of that right now. The RCMP is absolutely in control, it's defiant, and it's essentially unaccountable.
Right, and we're speaking with Paul Pelango, the author of Dispersing the Fog. And just one last thing I wanted to ask you about is, because you're talking about the people's, you know, civil rights and civil liberties going, well, we got a taste of that here in Toronto about a month ago. The New World Order was here. The G20 summit took place in Toronto, and it was the most expensive security situation, I think, in the history of the country. And I know RCMP and CSIS were involved with that event. I was just wondering, have you done any research into that summit, what happened there?
No, I haven't done any research into it, but it's predictable about the way things operate. You know, in previous conferences in Quebec and in Calgary and Vancouver, you've seen the way these things are handled in Canada, and there's essentially, you know, the police are allowed to create new law, basically. They operate literally above the law in these situations, because national security becomes everything. And I think that's one of the issues right now, that's the turmoil inside the RCMP. It's not one that only involves the structure of the RCMP, which is, you know, dysfunctional, or the attitude of the people inside the force and the sick culture of the RCMP, but this politicization that comes right down from the top, from the commissioner on down. And I said, you know, Mr. Elliott, people see him as a civilian, and the easy thing to do is say, oh, here are the police railing against a civilian. But I can't reiterate enough that Mr. Elliott is anything but a civilian. I mean, he's a counterintelligence officer and has been that for about 10 years, and he was put in charge of the RCMP. And I think the entire Canadian media has missed this and has failed to pay attention to why he was put there, the time when he was put there, and the likely reasons for him being there, because I think there are a number of issues inside government in Canada that are threatening to leak out, that are potentially catastrophic for government. And he is there to keep control on and keep a lid on the force. And that's my considered opinion.
Right. And do you have an opinion on the future of William Elliott? Do you think that this could cost him his job?
Well, I don't think he could last very long. Because and I don't think his underlings could last very long. I mean, if you look at the underlings who raised all the problems, they were the acolytes of the previous commissioner who was drummed out of office. And they were the architects of many of the problems the RCMP faced prior to 2007. That Elliott kept them on and didn't send them packing right away says something about what he was trying to do. Now that they're rebelling against him, it suggests to me that there's something else going on that you and I and the rest of Canada don't know, but we're going to be told about in the next couple of days or weeks or months. And that's the real catalyst for this brouhaha that's going on inside the force. I don't know what it is. I have my suspicions, but we'll see.
For sure, and yeah, I'll keep my ears open. But thanks a lot for bringing us this knowledge today, Mr. Paul Pelango.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, sir.
Bye-bye.
Peace. And that was Paul Pelango, the author of Dispersing the Fog. Dispersing the Fog is a book about the secret world of the RCMP, inside a look inside the secret world of Ottawa and the RCMP. Dispersing the Fog, you can find in the library. That's actually where I got it, but also at places where all good books are sold. You can get it online at dispersingthefog.com, dispersingthefog.com, and it's published by Key Porter Books.